that WPFW connects, engages, and uplifts our community as we build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Fall is a time of change and impermanence. What never changes is WPFW's unwavering commitment to providing reliable news, informative public affairs, and exceptional music that inspires both action and introspection. From October 14th through November 3rd, we celebrate The Circle Unbroken, 47 years of being in the community with WPFW during our Fall Pledge Drive. We invite you to be in community and solidarity with us by making a donation at WPFWFM.org to ensure that this independent grassroots media outlet not only survives, but thrives. It is with your generous support that we build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. here in the nation's capital, WPFW 89.3 FM, your Pacifica affiliate, your community radio station. Certainly, we got something to talk about the election today, talk about some things today. But before I get started, I do want to remind everyone, we are in fund drive. It is very important. We are in fund drive. Things have been a bit slow, but you know, I am confident that the people for my show will step up to the plate. We'll call 202-588-9739. That's right. The listeners will call 202-588-9739. That's the number to call. And you can, we've got people standing by and you can donate. We've also, we have something called it is our sustainer program. Let's say you can only afford to donate $20, right? Get on the sustainer program each month. They'll take out $20 and you'll be able to, you know, every month you will have the opportunity to donate $20 per month. And that will help keep the station strong, help keep us going. As you know, we don't do these fun drives, you know, just because we're like, hey, we're greedy. We got to get our hands on the loot. No, it takes a lot of money, like $100,000 a month. Yeah, I mean, crazy numbers it takes to keep this station running. It's a 50,000 watt station in Washington, D.C. And, you know, we have major expenses and then the transmitter goes down in a storm and something gets struck by lightning and we really need help. So please, if you enjoy the show, if you want to keep it going, 202-588-9739. And as I always say, before I get going, as I always say, there are people listening to the show who got a lot of money, who can do 100, 200, and 500, and it won't bother them, can do 1,000, can do whatever, and it won't bother them at all. They won't even know it's gone. So I know there's a lot going on right now. We're getting close to the end of the year. People need to donate money that they can deduct from taxes. So please call now, particularly those who have it. 202-588-9739. People standing by right now and waiting for you to call. I'm looking at the numbers. We need to get on the ball now so we can keep WPFW on the air. I know that's important to you and it is certainly important to me. Thank you very much. We are grateful for all of those who help. All right, let's get rolling. So we're in the election season, last couple weeks. As you know, I am not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. I'm to the left of both parties. I listen to everything that everybody has to say. And I don't have a dog in the hunt per se in that I am a person who sees the system as a poisonous system that is deteriorating. And voting one of these people in ain't going to stop it from deteriorating. So if you want to, I respect people's right. Unlike what's going on in this country now, it's absolute madness. I respect people's right to vote for anybody they choose. Yes, I vote third party. If you want to vote for Harris, that's fine with me. I mean, it's your right. You want to vote for Trump? Oh, that's fine with me. Yeah, I mean, people running around here trying to bogart people. You can't vote for this person. You have to vote for that person. Why? Because I'm standing for democracy. That's kind of the opposite of democracy. Democracy means what? You put forward. Actually, it means rule from the bottom. But in the context of how people understand it here in America, you put forward your beliefs, your vision for the future. Everybody looks at it. People make a choice and they go with whatever vision they feel fits them best, right? That's kind of the way it's supposed to work out. But here, now, there's a mentality that's gone away from the party, the candidate, has to offer me things in return for my vote. They have to give me a vision of things that would benefit me as the voter in return for my vote. It's now turned into you have to vote for the party to save us from the other person. Both parties, that's the game. You got to vote for Trump to save us from Harris. You got to vote for Harris to save us from Trump. It's the same game. Nothing different. Just a few little different things. And as I've said many times, in my opinion, the two major parties now are brainwashed cults. The only thing they know is that the other one is bad. Their leaders generally have nothing much to offer. And they don't even expect anything anymore. Let me start here on the two candidates. First, you got Trump. If you like Worldwide Wrestling Federation and a little bit of comedy, he's your guy. He's a WWF kind of guy. He's, you know, brawl and battle and go to war and say some funny things. Trump can be funny and he can be crude and he can be all of those things. And if you like that stuff, he's your guy. If you want someone who's an intellectual, who's a skilled politician, who understands the problems in this system and are going to try to fix them, first of all, he'd know that he can't. But Trump ain't, I don't see that as an option. Then we get to Kamala Harris. Now, don't get me wrong. The Trump supporters think he is the second coming of the greatest ever. I guess they like Reagan, who started this whole downhill disaster. But at any rate, so to him, Trump is Reagan. He's their guy. He's the best. Oh, they just love Trump. He's just wonderful. And he's going to fix everything. Prices will go down. The sun will shine. There won't even be dark. You can eat three meals a day. You can eat soda and ice cream, three meals a day. You won't gain a pound. Why? If Trump gets elected, it's all going to be good. That's what the Trump believers, supporters believe. And therefore, they're voting for Trump because he's going to handle it up, right? Now, there are other people voting for Trump for other reasons. We're going to get to that. Then you get to Kamala Harris. Kind of the same thing. The Kamala Harris believers. I don't think, I'll put it like this. So what I've done over the last several months is pretty much watched every Kamala Harris interview. And to say I was not impressed would be the understatement of the year. I've watched every single Kamala Harris interview, and I have yet to see her answer the question that was asked. Hey, Kamala, what time is it? You know, I was born in a middle-class home and blah, blah, blah. Hey, Kamala, what are you going to do different from Biden? Well, you know, Trump's a jerk, and did you know somebody said he was a fascist? And every single time, when it comes to communication, I don't know if you can tell, I'm kind of OCD about that, right? I'm kind of OCD about people understanding what I said and answering the questions. And I love to take tests. Some people hate tests. I've always loved tests. I've always been a good test taker. And when somebody says, what's the key to taking a test, Garland? I say, well, you study hard, but when you take the test, you got to do three things. Number one, you got to read the question. Number two, you got to read the question. Number three, you got to read the question. You have to understand the question to accurately answer it. And even if you don't really that well know the answer, use the words that are in the question. It helps. And if you're doing it on a computer, like a job application, oftentimes the computer reads for the question, for the words in the questions. What would you do to deal with personnel issues on the shop floor? Well, to deal with personnel issues on the shop floor, I would first blah, blah, blah. But you can come up with something, right? But you got to listen to the question, and you got to specifically answer the question. Don't ask her something else. If somebody asks you what time it is, don't talk to them about the price of tea in China. I have never in my life seen anyone like Kamala Harris. I've never seen anything like that before. Not in politics. Every question they ask her, she answers something that has nothing to do with the question. It frustrates me. I could hang myself because I'm OCD about communication. So I got to listen to Trump babble on about God only knows what. You know what? This is Trump. A perfect example of Trump. Perfect example. He's doing this French fry thing, right? So he's doing it at a McDonald's, and only Trump has to show his narcissism, right? So Trump's putting some fry. While I'm watching this whole thing, I watched as much of it as I could. I feel it's my duty as a political analyst. So he's dropping the fries in the grease, and he says to the, because apparently he likes McDonald's fries. And he says, I'm paraphrasing, not by much, but he says, oh yeah, they say these things are bad for your blood pressure. He says, we all know he's like, he says, my doctor says he's never seen blood pressure like mine before. And I'm thinking, he's never seen blood pressure like yours before, Trump? What is it, 130 over 85 or something? I don't know. I don't suspect that there's a number that the doctor's never seen before. Every number he's seen before. But to Trump, it's always, you know, we achieve things that nobody ever achieved before. It's the greatest. It's the most. I've done this. Nobody could ever. There's always this narcissistic thing that says I'm the greatest ever. No one could ever. And I'm like, oh, God, I got to listen to that. It's funny. Unless you're running for president, then it ain't all that funny. So I got to listen to Trump tell me that everything that he does is the greatest that any human being has ever done. And then I got to go to Kamala Harris and all she, you know, the interesting thing about it, all Trump talks about is Trump. Then I got to go to Kamala Harris and no wonder, no matter what they ask her, all Kamala Harris talks about is Trump. Everybody talks about Trump. And meanwhile, they get upset when people are on the street saying, I can't afford eggs. I can't pay my car payment. I can't keep a roof over my head. Donald Trump, what are you going to do about it? Well, you know, I've got the greatest blood pressure ever. My blood pressure's awesome. Everything I do is the best. Kamala, what are you going to do for it? You know that Trump's a fascist and some horrific, she's hanging out with these horrific warmongering. You know, Dick Cheney, a good friend of mine, and John Bolton, love him. And I'm like, so she's best friends with the worst warmongers on earth, and that's supposed to attract my vote. And all she ever talks about is Trump, and she never answers a single question. And I'm supposed to look at her and say, oh, yeah, here we go. Can't wait for four more years of this. Between the two of them, and they people wonder. They look at me, the two brainwashed cults that swear that these two clowns, it's a friggin' clown show. Why am I watching a clown show and the people around me can't see that this thing is falling apart? If these two people do not clearly demonstrate to you that the wheels are coming off the cart on this country, I don't know what to say. You're in a cult. You're brainwashed. Because the best you can do is say, but at least my candidate's not the other candidate. But if you think about it, you could, first of all, how hard would it be to find better candidates? It would be hard to find worse candidates. It would be really hard to find worse candidates than this. I could walk down the street and pick two people randomly standing at the bus stop. And one of them, I guarantee you, wouldn't constantly tell me that they had the greatest blood pressure ever. And the other one would not babble incoherently about Trump and never answer a question. And people get mad at me. The Trumpsters get mad at me when I say, this guy sounds like he reminds me of Hulk Hogan. I just like Hulk Hogan. Brother, I'm going to bash the Iron Sheik. Brother, I'm going to smash his head and yank his arms off. Brother, that's great. When you're watching the Slammies, when you're watching Monday Night WWF, you want to hear somebody, you want to hear Stone Cold Steve Austin tell you he's going to yank the arms off of his opponent, because you know he's not really going to yank their arms off. But it's fun to hear him say that. Great. But things are kind of falling apart here. It don't work so well when that guy's going to the White House. And I don't mind watching a Monty Python skit where somebody doesn't answer any question at all, where the old Monty Python skit where the guy comes in and pays somebody to argue with him. Great, hilarious. That's good old British comedy. But when I got to watch Kamala Harris humiliate herself on CNN, and she's on it, and literally CNN, they're like on her side, and they're saying, so tell me, Kamala, what about this? Trump's terrible. Okay. She possibly answered a question. Yeah, I did. Trump's terrible. And then the cult members of those two have to either tell me, but my candidate really is smart, I swear, he's or she is smart, or just ignore how stupid their candidate is and just say, well, my candidate's better than the other. From a guy who's neither a Democrat or a Republican, Lord knows I'm happy that I'm not anymore. I'm happy that I don't have to look at those two candidates and delude myself into believing that one of them is competent to run the country. I don't have to delude myself to believe that one of them will actually be running the country, because neither one of them will run the country. They are avatars for power. Joe Biden doesn't even know what planet he's on. He doesn't know if he's on a planet. And he's supposedly the president, and I'm supposed to believe that he's the president, that he's making decisions right now. I don't believe it. Which tells me he was never making decisions. The last guy that tried to make decisions, JFK, they put a bullet in him. If the president thinks he's going to make decisions, he's a dead man. Instead, they'd rather put into one of these schlamozzles so we can dance for a few days, so the Trumpsters can dance and say, ha ha, make America great again. I've got a red hat and my guy won. Or the Harris people, she's the first female, whatever, I don't know, she's claiming to be. She literally said, I'm going to be the first South Asian vice president. Now she says, I'm going to be the first black woman president. I guess whatever's convenient, that's what she is. I'm not a Democrat, so I don't have to buy into the game plan that she's black or Indian or South Asian or anything. Sorry, I'm not a Democrat. I don't have to buy into that. You can buy into it. You love her. It benefits you. Rachel Maddow told you she's whatever she's supposed to be now, because I heard her say these words. Yes, I'm the first South Asian vice president. Okay, I'm all right with that. 4 years later, she's the first black vice president. I don't know, a president. I guess maybe 4 years from now, or maybe if she decides to run for Senate, she'll go back to being the first South Asian. Personally, I don't care. I don't care if she's black, white, green, gray, or grizzly. All I know is the price of eggs is too high. And I would vote for an old white guy if he could bring the price of eggs down. But he can't, because the price of eggs are not up because of a decision that the president made. The price of eggs are up because this system is unstable, and we are in an inflationary mode, and that inflationary mode ain't going to go down. It's going to get worse. I don't know if you watch BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and several other countries, including Saudi Arabia, Iran, and United Arab Emirates, etc. But my point is this. The United States has used the dollar to sanction every darn body in the world, and the dollar has been destabilized. The United States is spending unthinkable amounts of money on 900 military bases around the world, on two major wars that we have started, both of them, and backed and armed both of them, but we got to brainwash the American people into thinking that we're supporting democracy. God knows, I find it shocking that people still believe those liars here in Washington, D.C., about the reason we're at the latest war. Have you noticed something? We're always at war, and they always got a reason. And it's always something good. We're there for democracy. We're here to help the minorities. The LGBT community is in trouble. Why women in that country are having problems. We've got to bomb that country to save the women. They always have some justification that insinuates that we're going to war for good, nice reasons to make the world a better place. When has war made the world a better place? Hey, we're going to stand up for Ukraine. Really? How's Ukraine doing right now? It's been blown to smithereens. Gee, we're not doing a good job of helping them out. Perhaps negotiating an end to a war is better than continuing the war. But if you're lying to the American people and they're a bunch of saps and they're going to believe every lie, that if you lie to them about weapons of mass destruction, and they know you lied to them about weapons of mass destruction, and a few years later you come back and you lie to them about the Ukraine conflict and you lie to them about the Israel conflict and they believe it, you probably ought to lie to them. P.T. Barnum said it's against the laws of God and nature to allow a sucker to keep his money. And if the government of the United States can continue to lie to the American people about war after war, and the American people are stupid enough to believe it every time, they probably ought to lie to them. The country's going to collapse. But as an American citizen, if you don't hold your government accountable for its lies, you are part of the problem. You are part of the dynamics that's creating the collapse. If I lie to your face about something and you say, you know, Garland, you lied to me about weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, right, you got me. And then I come back, you know, we've got to support Ukraine. Why? Would you believe democracy? Yeah, I'd believe it. There you go. That democracy. That's it. And the whole thing falls apart. And you believe that lie. You kind of got it coming. If you'd have said, nah, we're not supporting this, you lied to us about the last war, and you're probably lying to us about this war, which they are, then guess what? They couldn't lie to you about every war if you didn't let them do it. You can't ride on a man's back unless he's half bent over. If he stands up straight, you'll slide off. So they ride on the American people's back allegedly because they lie to us and we are abused. No, they don't. They lie to us because we keep accepting the lies. We should know they're not true. How many times does it take? Apparently a million in a row, and we'll still believe it. And so I'm sitting here watching this clown show. And now what's going to happen? Let me give you my predictions before this goes any further. Based on what I'm seeing right now, I will give you my predictions, and I'm going to stop and talk to you for a few minutes about WPFW. These are my predictions as I see it. Just as a political analyst, forget, you know, as you know, I can't stand either one of these parties because they're destroying the country, the both of them together, as a part of a system that quite naturally would do this. As I see it, generally, when you look at a presidential campaign, usually, more often than not, one of the candidates is up, and over the last few weeks, they kind of tighten up and it's kind of close. This seems to be the last few weeks. Let me just say this. The more Kamala Harris talks, the less she is appealing. And I've always believed this. Ultimately, when it comes down to it, that the issue that will decide this election is inflation. That things are just too high and that the incumbent party ain't going to be able to hold on to office because people are unhappy with the prices. That being said, here goes my predictions. In the Senate, Republicans will definitely pick up two seats. They're going to pick up John Tester's seat in Montana. They will pick up what's the guy from West Virginia that was a Democrat who was very conservative guy? I can't think of his name. Manchin. Republican will pick up both of those seats. The Republicans will have the Senate. There's another Senate seat in Ohio that Sherrod Brown or something that the Democrats should hold on to, but I don't think they will now. It's gone 50-50, which means he was up and now the Republican tied, which means the trajectory of the Republican is on the upswing. I think the Democrats lose that. I think Brown's out. I can't remember. Is it Casey? I think there's another one, very similar, exact same dynamic in Pennsylvania. I think the Dems lose that because the trajectory of the Republican is on the way up. So I think there's four Senate seats that go south for the Democrats. The House is a little more difficult. I think that, first of all, the Republicans definitely pick up two, which means they have the Senate. I think they pick up two more. But they'll already have the Senate anyway. So that puts them at what? 53-47 or 54-46, somewhere in there. I think that's the way it ends up. The House. Well, I'm not going to get deep into that. There's a number of, I think, five House seats in New York that are in question. The Republicans have a slight minority in the House, a majority, based on things. I think they hold on to it. I think now the House is a little hairier. I think the Republicans definitely pick up the Senate because that Manchin and that Tester seat are gone. In those two seats, they got the Senate. They got the Senate. And I think they're up by like 4 to 5 points in both of those. The Republicans are going to get the Senate. But the House is hairy. That's hard to, I would say that's a 50-50. But I'm going to say that the trajectory of the polls is moving in the direction of the Republicans. So it's going, I think they'll have maintain a very close majority in the House. I think they have both of them. Now we get to the presidential. I think Trump wins. Right now, there are various polls. Some polls are saying they're, you know, and again, Kamala Harris, national polls, which mean virtually nothing. They mean nothing. You got to win state by state. But if let's start with the national polls, because that's what they always talk about. So Harris was up by 2 points in the national polls, which mean nothing. And now they're pretty much tied. All that tells us is Trump is on the upswing. The trajectory of Trump is on the way up. But still, they don't mean much to me. When you go through state by state in the battleground states, Trump's starting to move ahead 1 point here, 2 point here, which is within the margin of error. But again, the trajectory is on the upswing. So I'm going to go with this as my final projections. I don't see any way to the Democrats keep the Senate. That's done. Tester, Manchin, done. They're going to lose the Senate. The House is hairy. My projection is the Republicans are going to take the House by a slight, maintain the House. They already got the House. They'll keep it with that slight majority simply because things are on the upswing for them. They're going to pull out a lot of voters. I think Trump wins big. I may be wrong on this. That's my projection. You got to predict something. And if I look at that, things are on the upswing for Trump. He's moved and increased in all of the swing states. And additionally, here's the thing about it. I don't see any way the Democrats win Michigan simply because the Muslims are furious. None of the Muslims are going to vote for, I mean, like 100,000 or something Muslims ain't voting for Harris. They're going to vote, you know, I think most of them are going to, some are going to vote for Trump. Most of them are going to probably vote for Jill Stein, which gives to me all those people vote for all of those people vote for not for Harris. That means I don't see any way that the Democrats are going to hold Michigan because the demographics are going bad for them, right? The other thing is this, the demographics. A lot of black men ain't down with Kamala. And I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think it's so much that they're not down with Kamala. I don't think that's it. I think that, again, I think that has to do with the prices, that a lot of black men that are working class and working poor are just unhappy with the price of stuff. And so I think a lot of black men are going to stay home and rake leaves or vote for third party or vote for Trump. If the Democrats don't do what they need to do, what they normally do with black men, I don't see a path to victory for them because that is a critical dynamic for them. And some of them are going to vote for Trump. So in my opinion, I don't see a path to victory for Kamala Harris. So you got my predictions. Those are my predictions. Do with them what you want. You can come back and throw them up in my face if they're wrong the day after. I don't really care because it's nothing but a prediction. But that's the way I see it. So we will see how it goes. We can write it down. You don't have to write it down. It's recorded. That's my thoughts of where things go. Take it for what it's worth. I don't know that I'm right or wrong. Again, I ain't throw up with none of these candidates. Again, I'm a third party kind of guy. So, you know, you vote the way you feel like voting. You do what you feel like doing, and we'll see how this thing shakes out. All right. You just know I am a dissenter. I am an angry man who is unhappy with a government that does not look out for its people, that doesn't give a crap about us, that spends all the money, that's just an imperialist empire, not a country, that spends all its money on 900 military bases, that goes around the country starting wars and overthrows governments. And the worst part of it is they come home and lie to the American people about why we're at war everywhere. If the American people knew the truth about why the United States was at war all over the world, if the American people knew the truth that the United States is interfering in other countries, interfering in their elections, interfering in their internal affairs, trying to overthrow their governments, in some instance overthrowing their governments, sanctioning innocent poor people and brown people to death all over the world, if the American people knew the truth about what their government is doing, they would be furious. But they're brainwashed and they don't know the truth, and they won't accept the truth if you tell them. They don't get mad at Trump. The Republicans don't get mad at Trump for lying to them. The Democrats don't get mad at their leadership for giving them Kamala Harris or for not answering any questions. They get mad at me for telling them they're being schnookered. That's the way it always works. All right, so let's go here. So far, we haven't got any money yet. So far, we haven't got, but I know it's coming because the people here understand the importance of WPFW, that after the election, we're going to still need to talk about this thing. We're going to still need a platform where we can have access to unfiltered conversation, where Garland Nixon can say things that you can't say on the mainstream news, that you can't say on the corporate controlled news. And you can call in and you can say, I think you're wrong or I think you're right. And Garland will say, hey, thank you for calling. I'm not going to say don't call in. You can call in and say, Garland, you're a terrible, stupid idiot and you don't know anything. And I'll say, thanks for calling. This is WPFW. It's community radio. That's what it's here for. This is not about me. It's about allowing you the opportunity to call in and say, I love you, Garland. You're on the money. Or I hate your guts, Garland. Or maybe I love you, Garland, but you're wrong about everything. This is about providing that platform. And the only reason we can do it is because we don't have to take corporate money. If we got corporate money, we couldn't do it. So here's what I need you to do. The number is 202-588-9739. Now, you know I love house music, so I'm going to put a house song on. And while that song is on, I expect that some of my beloved listeners will call 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739, and donate, particularly people who can afford it. People, you know who you are. You're listening. You can afford it. You're not going to miss that. But you won't even know it's gone. Those are the people particularly we need to call in. But everybody, I mean, whatever you can do, $25, $50, and those who can do hundreds, those who can do thousands, please, we'd appreciate it if you do that. Keep this thing going. 202-588-9739. Let's listen to some house music. Hello, Garland Nixon. And certainly, hey, look, you know, we got a couple of people that called in, and I really appreciate that. We got some great contributions. One of them is from Anonymous in Woodbridge, Virginia, and the other one is Anonymous in New Carrollton, Maryland. They've really, you know, some very nice oh, there we go. Things are coming around. I really appreciate. And hey, my main man, Dwayne in Capitol Heights. I want to thank you, Dwayne in Capitol Heights. He says, keep up the amazing work. You know, I really appreciate that, Dwayne, because what I think is this. You know, I'm a big Malcolm X fan. I'm a big fan of history. You know, Mike Tyson was a great fighter, and one of the reasons was because he studied boxing history, right? You'll find that people that are good or good, I find that people that are really good at things are into history. History is a great predictor, right? And my mentor, as many people know, I used to bring him on the show when he was alive. Well, certainly couldn't do it after he died, but was Paul Robeson Jr. And what does he always do? He studied history. He read all the time. You know, I talked to him. We talked all the time, right? And he kind of took me under his political wing, and he was always in his study. His wife, Mary, and I'd call over there. Is Paul there? Hold on. He's in his study. She'd get him. He was reading. And what are you reading? No, I'm doing this, and I'm working on this manuscript for my dad's book and blah, 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 blah. But he was always reading. He was always study. He was always learning. You know, what I found is that, and wait a minute, let me add Theodore Thomas in Upper Marlboro. So we got Anonymous in Woodbridge, Virginia. Thank you. We've got Anonymous in New Carrollton. Thank you very much. We got Dwayne in Capitol Heights. He says, keep up the amazing work. Dwayne, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. He's done, really helping the show. And of course, Theodore Thomas in Upper Marlboro. Thank you very much. Great, great, great contributions. And you all are really helping keeping the show going. And what it shows is this. Look, I had people call me, people that I know, friends. Well, Garland, how come you don't get on Trump enough, and you don't this or that about Trump? And I say, you're just showing that you're brainwashed. You can, if you want to hear a particular thing, if you want to hear how good Trump is and how bad Kamala Harris is, you can go to Newsmax. You can go to One News, OAN, or One American News. You can go to Fox News. You can go to all of these, and they'll tell you how wonderful Trump is and how bad Kamala Harris is. If you want to hear the opposite, you can go to CNN, you can go to MSNBC, and all of these outlets that are owned by the ruling elite will tell you that the candidate that of your choosing is fantastic, and now the other candidate is terrible. You don't need me to do that. In fact, that shows me that you're being had. Malcolm X said, time and again, he said people have to wake up. Once you wake them up, they can get something done. But as long as they're asleep, they can't do nothing. And as long as you're still caught in this trap, you're in a trap, and you're in a couple of what I called cults. Everybody believes the same thing. And here's what makes it obvious to me. You have a list of enemies. If you go through, let me give you an example. I'm going to make this point a different way. There was a guy, I can't remember what his name was, a famous philosopher, author, or whatever, who said, you give me any book, I can read 20, 25 pages, and I can tell you within a few years when that book was written, right? Why? Because when he reads that book, he sees the words there. It was a capital day. Well, that's an Edwardian kind of saying, right? He's going to read that book. He's going to say that was from the Victorian period. Oh, that was during the Red Scare. Oh, that was during the apartheid part of America. Oh, look what they're saying, right? The language, the things they're talking, it reflects the language of that time. But what does the language of that time reflect? The language of that time reflects the thinking of that time. That people at that time thought a certain way. They saw the world a certain way because the elite of that time, because the academics and philosophers of that time all believed that the world was flat or the world was round or something. All knowledge was given to you by God or whatever the case may be at that time. And their language of that time reflected the thinking of that time. And if you are just reflecting the thinking of a particular time or a thinking of a particular group, you're not thinking at all. You're not thinking for yourself. You're speaking the language. You're speaking the thoughts and beliefs that are handed to you. So when somebody tells you, I listen to somebody, he'll tell me, who are the bad guys in the world? Well, it's Putin and somebody else. Okay, well, that person's a Democrat. How about you? Oh, it's the Communist Party of China. Okay, that guy's a Republican. Think about that. Why did you decide that Putin was bad? Why did you decide that Communist China was bad? Why did you do whatever it is? The Palestinians and the Muslims are bad. No, it's the Israel. Why did you think? Did you research for yourself and come up with your idea of who are your adversaries and who are your enemies? Or did you get it from TV? Did you get it from Rachel Maddow? Did you get it from Bill O'Reilly? Did you get it from Fox? Did you get it from CNN? They told you who your enemies are. They even tell you the phrases to use. They tell you the things to say, as we say in Zen, 1,000 gourds from a single vine. You're nothing but a gourd on a vine. As long as I live, I will never be that gourd on a vine. I will never have somebody say, I can listen to what Garland says and I can reflect. Well, let's see. He's a black male. He's this age, which means he's probably a Democrat. He's probably a Southern Baptist. He's probably this and that based on his age and demographics, his education. I can tell you all this about. Not me, buddy. I got a mind. I can think for myself. I can evaluate things for myself. I'm not going to be in a whole crowd and everybody in the crowd tells you who their enemies are. But when you ask them why, they can't tell you. Do you know how many times that I've dealt with that? I told a story last week of somebody I was talking to. They had Julian Assange as a rapist. And I'm like, really? Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, well, you know, he was a rapist. Blah, blah. And I'm like, well, okay, interesting. Well, he was never accused of rape. He was never charged with rape. And he was never convicted of rape. I personally don't see how someone could call him a rapist, but you tell me where you come up with the idea that he's a rapist when he was never accused, charged, or convicted of rape. And they just kind of looked at me with this look on their face. And you know what the look said to me? It said, oh, crap, I've been exposed. I thought Julian Assange was a rapist because I heard somebody else say he was a rapist. And when you ask me, how can I tell you that I know he's a rapist? I have no clue. I have barely a superficial understanding of any of these talking points that I'm giving you. So I don't say things. I don't give you talking points that if somebody calls me and says, how do you know that, that I will have a stupid look on my face. I love my callers. Love them. I love the people. And I'm not saying that you're stupid. I'm saying that you've been had. A guy called me a couple weeks ago. Wonderful gentleman. I really appreciate him calling and supporting the show. But I think he's been had. And let me tell you why. Guy called me and he said, you know, Garland, I've been listening to your show and you're saying things that are untrue. You know, some people listening might remember the call. Nice gentleman, brilliant, smart guy, but I think he's been had. And he said, you're saying things that's untrue. I said, oh, wonderful. You're the guy I want to hear from. Because you know what? I don't want to be right. I don't want to win an argument. I want to be correct. And if I say something that's incorrect, I pray that someone will call me and correct me. I'm searching for the truth in a philosophical perspective. So I ain't trying to be right. If you call and say I disagree with you, man, that's what I'm trying to hear. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to improve my knowledge. And I said, all righty, bruh. I'm saying something that's incorrect. What is it? And he couldn't tell me. He couldn't tell me. He says, well, I probably should have took notes he called me to tell me that I said something that was incorrect, but couldn't tell me what it was. Because it wasn't that I said something incorrect. It was that I said something that he didn't agree with, but he couldn't remember what it was. That's something I would never do. If I call you and say you're incorrect and you say, what was it? I can specifically tell you what it was that I thought was incorrect. And then I can give you an argument as to why I think it was incorrect. And then I can tell you what I think is correct. Epistemology in philosophy. Epistemology is, how do you know what you know? You know something. I know my name's Garland. How do you know that? You should be able to tell me. This is how I can tell you my name's Garland. Garland, I say this happened. How do you know that? Because the other person probably did their research. In my instance, yes. So, and let me say this. Let me go on. Don't forget, I want to thank everybody one more time. We need lots of help on WPFW because we got a lot of bills. We got people got to eat here. You know, we got some workers. We have a lot of volunteers such as me, but we got a lot of paid workers. And keeping this station on the air ain't cheap. So please, 202-588-9739. That's the number, 202-588-9739. I want to thank Anonymous in Woodbridge, Virginia. I want to thank Anonymous in New Carrollton, Maryland. I want to thank Dwayne in Capitol Heights, two times over. Dwayne, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I want to thank my main man, Theodore Thomas in Upper Marlboro. Wow, we got Capitol Heights. We got New Carrollton, Upper Marlboro. I want to thank Steve in College Park. Oh, man, everybody is, you know, coming up in the house today, really stepping up to the plate and helping us out. I really appreciate that. But, and I think part of it is why people are helping out the show is because they know I'm genuine. Look, you ain't got to agree with me. In fact, I think it's very, very healthy. That's why, you know, I hear people say this. I just shake my head. I literally have heard people say, yes, I don't associate with people if they're a Trump supporter. People know me, I do a lot of fishing. I love fishing and go out all the time. I got a couple of different boats, small one and a bigger one. And I'm every chance I get, I was out earlier this week. I'm going out there and I'm trying to catch me some fishies and I'm having a good old time. I love the water. I love boating, always have, you know, so my background is on the water. And one of my good buddies that I go fishing with is a diehard Trump supporter. Love him like a brother. He's a great guy. One of the nicest people I ever met. Love his family. He will do anything in the world for you. And we talk fishing and, oh, he's a wonderful guy. I cannot imagine that I would say, nah, I ain't supporting with this guy. Why? Because we have a difference in thought. That's brainwashing. That's cultish behavior. So what? He disagrees with me. He got a right to. And then I will assign that to them. Well, he's a vote for Trump, so obviously, clearly, he's a racist. There's a lot of black folks voting for Trump. Did that make them racist? No. And I respect everyone's right to vote. If you don't, you know what kills me? Somebody that says you don't have a right to vote for who you want to, but we're here to stand for democracy because Trump wants to stop democracy. Well, can people vote for Trump? No. That's kind of the opposite of democracy. You've got a mentality that you're right. Everybody else is wrong, which is okay if you think you're right. I do. I think I'm right. I'm fine if you think you're right. But that you will take that and use it to oppress the rights of others and to have condescension and disdain for the rights of others. The only people I have condescension and disdain for are the ruling elite. The rest of us, you know what my buddy is? He's a working class kind of guy. I have solidarity with the working class. I don't care who they are. If a working class person is misled, I look at them as a victim of propaganda. I don't look at them as an enemy. I look at a person who needs to learn, who needs to be converted. If you're a religious person, what do you think? Yeah, I'm not a religious person, but let's say you are. You think Jesus walked around, hey, there's a sinner. Ah, I hate that guy. Or did he go over and befriend the guy and say, hey, you know what, let's have a chat. Hey, come on, let's sit down. As they say, who needs a doctor other than the sick people? So if you find someone who thinks different than you, look at them if you think you're so right, look at them as a sick person. Maybe they need to hear. Maybe they need friendship. Maybe they need to know. What if it's a person who doesn't like? Let me tell you, I've experienced this in my working life. White guy, everybody told me he was such a racist. No, I don't know, he might have been, probably was. And they said, oh gosh, when you work with this guy, this is gonna be a problem. I worked with the guy, we became the best of friends. And I come to find out he really just hadn't been exposed to black folks. But I could have said, oh, he's an evil Republican Trump supporter. I hate him. He's a racist. I didn't do that. I did what I did. I treated him with decency and respect. And from that, he learned that, hey, black people are just people, human beings. I was mistaken. He learned that. He never said it to me, but he didn't have to because I knew it. Be an example for other people. Don't be hateful and angry to somebody because they're a Trump supporter. Be an example for them as to how you believe that a person should act. And maybe instead of them thinking, oh, all Democrats are evil, they'll be like, yeah, well, you know, I thought all Democrats were evil, but that Garland guy is pretty nice. Maybe they're not evil. Be an example. Don't be a hater. How we got to say that in the community? Don't be a hater. All right. I'm getting ready to put on some house music and make a run. Number one, I'm going to New York City. Going to be hanging out in Manhattan this weekend, so I'm looking forward to that. First of all, I want to thank Anonymous in Woodbridge. And Anonymous in New Carlton. Big thanks to my main man, Dwayne in Capitol Heights. Man, thank you very much. Theodore Thomas in Upper Marlboro. Thank you. Steve in College Park. Thank you, Steve in College Park. It's about love. It's always got to be in the end about love for your brothers, love for your fellow man, not hate. If the person you think ideologically or politically they don't align or agree with you, don't hate them. Love that. Show love to that person. Demonstrate to them how you believe somebody should act and think. Don't be the hater. That's all I'm saying. Don't hate. Garland Nixon at Garland N on Telegram. Garland.Nixon on Instagram. Garland Nixon on Facebook. Email me, and you can find me at garlandn@gmail.com. Got to hear some house music. I'm out. Oh, by the way, lastly, 202-588-9739. Please, this is while this last house song is playing, call in 202-588-9739. Let's get a few more donations. Thank you.
make it last.